I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. It's been more than 70 years since the U.S. government relocated 120,000 people of Japanese descent to internment camps. That was during World War II. Men, women, and children were taken from their homes for reasons of national security. It was a difficult chapter in American history, and it's been well chronicled. Many Japanese Americans still make pilgrimages to larger camps like Manzanar in California. But the smaller camps get less attention, and one camp in Idaho was essentially forgotten until recently. The World's Jason Margolis has our story.
Priscilla Weggers is a historian of Asian American studies at the University of Idaho. About 15 years ago, she was attending a lecture by a fellow scholar. The topic was the Japanese internment camps. After the talk, a woman in the audience said, "What about the Kuski camp in northern Idaho?" Weggers said the professor was stumped.
He'd done a whole lot of research, has written a book. He had no idea. He had never heard of it.
Neither had Weggers. So she went over to the woman and said, "Tell me more."
She had gone down and saw him get off the train, and that is exactly what happened. In May of 1943, 104 men had volunteered to get out of the Santa Fe, New Mexico internment camp and volunteered to come to Kuski, the Kuski camp, to work, and they would get paid.
All told, 265 Japanese men were paid to build Highway 12, a remote, windy mountain pass that connects northern Idaho to Montana. It was difficult, dangerous work, but Wegger says the work also returned a semblance of self-worth to the men. And she says under the Geneva Convention, the men were also able to petition for rights given to prisoners of war.
They worked probably 6 days a week, but on Sundays they could do other things. And, you know, they could write letters, they could listen to the radio, they could do arts and crafts, they could play baseball, they could go fishing, that kind of thing.
Weggers knows this through interviews, photos, and other research, but also because archaeologists at the University of Idaho are now excavating the site. Stacy Camp is heading up the project and showed me around her lab on campus in the city of Moscow.
And we have some glasses here. We have a toothpaste, an old toothpaste container. We have, you may be familiar with this, a dental tray. These are no fun.
It might look like discarded junk, but to an archaeologist like Camp, these relics tell a story of life at Kuski. The dental items, for example, reveal how the prisoners petitioned to bring a doctor to their isolated internment camp. Besides toothpaste tubes, archaeologists have also found porcelain vases and a small rock carving of an otter. A team of students in the lab scrubs dirt and rust off of artifacts with a toothbrush. Senior Taylor Howell is buried in his work. I suggested that it looked, well, kind of boring.
It does have its similarities to data entry, but you know, you have to get through this part in order to find the things that we have on display over here.
It's not glamorous, but as archaeologist Stacy Camp says, this is how relics make their way into museums.
This is one of the processes that kind of gets left behind in the media often because everyone's attracted to the field and kind of the Indiana Jones-esque aspect of being in the field and doing the physical labor and digging. But that usually only consists of maybe a month or 6 weeks or 8 weeks of time. And then this takes years.
That said, I still wanted to see the dig. So we get in the car and drive 3 hours along the windy and gorgeous Highway 12 to the site. We then pull off onto a small dirt road and drive about 100 yards to a clearing. Stacy Camp pulls out an old photo.
You can kind of see this is what the barracks look like right about here. And one way that we're able to figure out where they are located is by looking at old growth trees and looking for some of the trees that are in historic photographs.
It's pretty impressive detective work. Especially when you consider a few years ago, nobody even knew where the forgotten internment camp was. Just that it was somewhere along the highway, miles from any town. We cross a creek and go to the site's old trash dump, a gold mine for the archaeologists, students, and volunteers who have tackled the dump with their small trowels. Stacy Camp lights up when we arrive at the old trash heap.
The ground that we're standing on, there were thousands of artifacts across the entire landscape, about a 50 by 50 meter area. There were whole bottles on the landscape, buttons, gaming pieces.
Camp hopes to explore this area further to better understand how the men dealt with the extreme isolation here. But archaeological fieldwork costs a lot of money. That's the other less than glamorous part about being an archaeologist that we never saw Indiana Jones do. Camp will be spending much of her next year applying for grants, to keep digging. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis, Kuski, Idaho.